The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And the disciples asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to understand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be a great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that in the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. We're going to play a game today, so come on up. And y'all have a seat right here. Leave me a spot in the middle. Okay. And this is one of my favorite games. Okay. All right, and here's how this goes. I have in my hands Daddy in his bed. Okay? And you guys are going to push the alarm clock. Okay? Now, how many times you push the alarm clock is in this hand on this card. Okay? So, do I have a volunteer to come up here and, okay, come on up. Here's your card. What's the number on it? 2. So you get to press that alarm clock button 2 times. 1, 2. But nothing happened. Okay, have a seat. Who's next? Who wants to do it next? You want to do it next? Come on. All right. This time you got 5. Okay. So press it 5 times. Whoop, still nothing. Okay. Who's next? Who wants to do it next? All right, come on up. You get to do it 4 times this time. So press that white button 4 times. What do you think is going to happen? It needs batteries? Maybe. All right, who's next? Ha, you get 7. All right, here we go. Oh, he threw his hat off even. Okay. All right. All right. So sometimes when you play this game, you're a little worried about when he's going to pop up. You don't know, do you? Even I didn't know, because he pops up at different times all the time. So you never know. And that can be scary. And also you can be kind of hesitant to press it. All right. Well, that's kind of what's happening here in our gospel today, is something's going to happen. Jesus is saying something is going to happen. He's talking about the time he's going to come back. And he mentions all these signs and things. And a lot of time people use these things, use this text, to talk about how our world is like those signs. And they're kind of anticipating the end of time. That can be scary. And you don't know when it is going to happen. Kind of like Daddy waking up. But I want to point out, I hope you listen to all the lessons that are read, because sometimes they work together. And today, instead of being scared and fearful about that time where our time may end and Daddy may wake up or Jesus comes, I want you to look at the Psalms today that we said. And listen to what it says. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." What that means is, instead of being scared of this time, I think we should be looking forward to that time. Because he's given us the gift of Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will come for you. I am preparing a house for you with rooms in it for you." That's something for me to be excited about. Now, the second lesson, however, talks about being idle. You know what being idle is? That's Daddy laying in the bed. That's laying there waiting for it to happen. Da, 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 da. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to sit there. Well, here's our psalm again. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth into joyous song, sing praises." If we know that Jesus is coming and he's promised us that he's coming, instead of sitting idle, shouldn't we celebrate that? That's why we come here, to hear about that promise. That's why we come here, to sing praises to him and give thanks for that promise, so that when it happens, whenever we don't know, but when it happens, we know we're ready and can celebrate it. Pressing the button isn't scary anymore. It's, when's it going to happen? Great. I hope it's me. So that's what I hope you think about. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being there for us and promising us the gift that you will come again and that you have prepared a place for us. Help us to remember that, but help us not to sit by and just watch. Help us to bring your kingdom here on earth with our actions and our worship. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who are old enough, maybe you can remember back about 26, 27 years ago, the world was very anxious at that time. Many people were worried because the calendar would be rolling over to the year 2000. And there were a lot of predictions of what would happen when that calendar rolls over to the year 2000. Many people were very upset, mainly because of computers. Those older computers, when they put dates on everything for the year, they only had two digits. So that meant when the year rolled over from 1999 to the year 2000, it would be reset back to the year zero. And what would that do then to all the computer systems, even back 26 years ago, almost 26 years ago, what would that do to the world? They were worried all the computer things, anything tied to computers, would fail, which would mean that the grid, the electrical grid, would fail. Everybody's houses would go dark. There would be no electricity. They were worried about dams, that maybe the floodgates would be opened up and there'd be floods everywhere. That there'd be chaos in the skies because all the computers would go down on the control towers. You can imagine anything that was tied to computers. All the bank records would be wiped out. All the stock market records would be wiped out. And they were worried about the chaos that would be hitting throughout the whole world because of the computers. But that was a man-made thing. And they knew it far enough ahead of time that they actually came up with a man-made fix. And for the most part, if you remember, 26 years ago, it rolled over and nothing major happened. There might have been a few glitches with some of the older computers, but for the most part, they had it all fixed. There was really nothing to worry about since they did have it fixed. You know, we get worried with the ideas of what kind of catastrophes can hit, what kind of things can really mess us all up. And there's sense to that. We do need to be prepared for different things that happen. But if we look here in the gospel lesson this morning, here from Matthew, Jesus and his disciples are sitting in the courtyard of the temple. There's probably other people around too, listening to the teachings that Jesus was teaching. And they were admiring the temple. The temple was brand new. As a matter of fact, it was still under construction at that time. And they were admiring all the architectural and engineering beauty within this building. The stones were massive and they were brand new. Some of them were marble, some of them were white limestone, and they just shone in the sun. They were pristine and they were massive stones that were laid there for the foundations and for the walls. And then there was all the artwork within, all the carvings and the moldings and everything else within that stone. And then some of it was gilded in gold, and it was just reflecting the sun. It was just a marvelous building, a work of wonder. And Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. The time is coming. That got everybody's attention. What do you mean? What's going to happen? And Jesus goes on to speak about all these calamities that will be taking place. Wars, rumors of wars, tumults, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, floods, families going at it after each other. Just everything going on at the same time. And their question and their reaction is when? When is this going to happen? And how will we know when this is going to happen? But that actually wasn't the right question to ask. That's not where Jesus was going with this. When is not the right question. When we ask the question of when, that means that we're trying to control it. We're trying to stop these things from happening. But we can't stop those things from happening. We can stop the man-made things or some of the man-made things from happening, like in the year 2000 with the computers. But we can't stop the earthquakes. We can't stop the floods. We can't stop the rain. We can't stop the droughts. We can't stop pandemics that go raging through. We can't stop pestilence or bugs or all these things. They keep coming at us, and we cannot stop God. We cannot take control. And the question of asking when is this going to happen gives us the sense that we can take control. I know a lot of people some people build bomb shelters, or they build bunkers or those kind of things. And you can even order pallets to stock those. I mean, the pallets come pre-assembled, a whole pallet. You get the water, you get the canned goods, you get the dry goods, you get things like batteries and flashlights and maybe a radio or something. I'm not sure what all goes into those pallets. Blankets, whatever you need to survive in a bunker. We ask the question, when? Like we can stop it from happening. When the end of the world comes. When we read these lessons, and there's different places in the Bible that are called the Apocrypha. Here in Matthew's Gospel, we see what's called the Little Apocalypse. Mark also has a Little Apocalypse. But most of those kind of writings are in the book of Daniel and then the book of Revelation. And people are fascinated with when. When is this going to take place? And throughout history, then, groups have crunched the numbers in Revelation. They've looked at the book of Daniel. They tie in the politics of present-day time. They look at world events such as the earthquakes or floods or famines or politics that are going on in the world. And they put it all together and they come up with a date. This is going to be the end of the world. And they scare the fool out of people. People believe it, and it scares the fool out of people. They're willing to do anything to follow this leader so that they can survive this, what they call a calamity. As Christians, we don't look at it as a calamity. We look at it as Christ returning, Christ fulfilling his promise. You know, all these things generate fear. We've been through hurricanes, and they're not much fun. We see the destructions that hurricanes bring. Or fires. We see the destruction that a fire will do to a house or to a business or even to a pasture, to wildlands. We see the devastation of floods. Just earlier this year, this summer, we saw the floods that went through Kerrville area and all the destruction that brought and how many lives were lost. These things bring fear. They bring fear to us. And so we want to know when. When is this going to happen? But yet, Christ says, for those who follow me, not a hair on your head will perish. We will have life. It will be a new life. That's part of the promise, is that there will be an end to this world. There'll be end to this heaven. And there will be a new earth and a new heaven, and we will live with God forever. And so we don't fear this. We don't look at that as a time of destruction. Now, for some of the groups, there is a time of destruction, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Some of you remember some of these stories, such as Jim Jones in Guyana. He started out as a kind of in a Pentecostal pastor. He did a lot of good work for helping the homeless, helping the poor, feeding people. He got involved with politics. He ended up assassinating, I think, a congressman. He fled, and he took his whole group down to Guyana. And he continued to go crazy, and they worried about being overrun. And so he mass murdered all his followers. He put cyanide in their drink and had everybody drink the drink. And I think he was responsible for over 900 deaths. But they followed him. They looked at all these things, this apocalyptic stuff of what's going to happen, and they thought, this is the best way to handle it, is that mass death. It was destructive. It was something to fear, to see all those dead people. Another story is David Koresh at Waco, if you all remember that story as well then, too, of of how there was a standoff. And I don't remember the federal officers who were there, whether it was ATF or FBI or maybe all of them, that there was a standoff trying to get them to surrender. And when the government finally went in, everybody again was either murdered or they committed suicide. Self-fulfilling prophecies. Out of that fear of destruction of what's going to happen. But as Christians, we don't need to fear that. We look forward to that day because that means the day is the end of all the destructive forces. That's the end of earthquakes and famines and pestilence and disease. That's the end of our sorrows. And it will be the end of death. We will live with God forever. So we look forward to that day. And the disciples asked the question of when. How will we know when this is going to happen? That's not the right question. The right question is how do we respond to this? How do we respond to this? We respond with faith and with hope. That faith and the hope that we live with every single day in our lives, whether our lives are joyful on that day or whether they are very sad, whether we are mourning or grieving, we still have faith and hope because the promises of God are true. Martin Luther was once asked, "What would you do if you knew that tomorrow is the last day, that is the end, that is the end time? Tomorrow, everything will be wiped out." And Martin Luther says, "I'll plant a tree." It doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you think about it. What Martin Luther was saying is that I'll continue on in my life as I have always been living. A faithful witness, a faithful servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will continue on just as he always did. And that's the way we live our lives. Whether we know or whether we don't know when the end times are coming, we just live our faithful lives in service to God and to one another. Or if you flip that whole idea around of living that way, then maybe we need to think, I'll live every single day like tomorrow is the last day. I'll live every single day like tomorrow is the last day. That's simply the way that we live our lives as Christians. Simply trusting in God's word, listening to what Christ has to say, and following Jesus through the rest of our lives. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.